This week's parasha contains the Aseret HaDibros. So, I want to talk a little bit about one of the Aseret HaDibros. There is a Gemara in Yuma on Daf Lamed Hay. I'm with base. The Gemara in Yuma and Daf Lamed Hay with base says the following: Tana Rabbanan, Oni v'Asher v'Rasha boin ledin. Every type of person eventually has to come in front of the Beis Din Shelmaila. Every individual, after he passes away from this world, comes before the Beis Din Shelmaila. And the Beis Din Shelmaila judges him. Society includes aniyim, it includes ashirim, and it includes rishoyim. They all end up in front of the Beis Din Shelmaila, and they all have to give a din v'cheshbon. And the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, La'oni aimrim loy, neymar loy asakta v'teira. The Oni gets asked, why weren't you involved in Limud Torah? Im Oimer, if he says, Oni Ayisi, I was an Oni, V'torud b'mezoinus, and I didn't have time to learn because I was occupied in trying to make a panasa. Im Rimloi, the Beis Din Shelmaila responds to him, and says to him, Klum oni ayisa yaisa mi Hillel. Were you a bigger oni or a greater oni than Hillel was? And then the Gemara goes on there to tell the story of Hillel. The Gemara then continues that Oshir, when the Oshir comes, Ladin, Aimrim loy, so the Beis Din Shemayla says to him, Mipnei ma loy asakta b'teira. Why didn't you learn Torah? Im Oimel, if he responds, Oshir Hayisi, I was a wealthy person, V'torod Hayisi bin Achosai, and I was too busy looking after my investments to have time to learn Torah. Aimrim Loi, the Beis Din Shemayla says to him, Klum Oshir Hayisa Yeser mi Rebbe Elazar, were you a greater Oshir than Rebbe Elazar? And then the Gemara goes on to continue to describe the Ashiris of Rebbe Elazar. The Gemara then continues that the Rosha appears in front of the Beis Din Shelmaila, Aimrim Lei, and they say to him, why didn't you occupy yourself with learning Torah? Imaimel, if he responds, no, not Ehayisi. I was a good looking guy. And that leads to all sorts of things. Vahayisi Torud Beyitzri. And I was very busy doing what my Yetzahara told me to do. Aimrim Loi. So the response to him is, from the Beis Din Shelmaila, Klumnoye Hayisa Mi Yosef. Were you a better looking than Yosef was? Amru alav al Yosef atzadik. The Beis Din Shemayla says to him that we're told about Yosef atzadik b'chol yom v'yom, that every day ha'isa eishes peitifal mishadlosei bidvarim. Eishes peitifal tried to seduce him. And she used all sorts of schemes, say Chazal, in order to seduce him. Begodim shalov shalay shachris leilov shalay alvis. Begodim shalov shalay alvis leilov shalay shachris. She kept on changing her clothing with the intent that maybe that would attract him. Omrali, she said to him, Ishomali, do what I'm asking you to do. Omala, he responded, Lav. No way. Omala, she said to him, Hareini chayvashcha bebeis asurim. If you don't listen to me, you'll end up in jail. Omala Hashem matir asurim. She said, Hareini kaykefes kaymoseich. I will make you bend. I will make you give in. To which he responded, Hashem zaykef kfufim. She said, Hareini mesame es einecho. He said, Hashem pekech ivrim. Everything she tried, he gave a response. Nosnoloi, she gave him elef kikorei kesef, yishmoye eleho lishkav etzlo, liyo isimo. She tried to bribe him with a huge amount of money. Velei rotzo lishmoye eleho, he didn't want to give in to her, lishkav etzlo ba'ilam hazeh, because that would mean liyo isimo ba'ilam abo. That would mean that he'd end up with her in Olam Haba as well, and he didn't want that. Says the Gemara in conclusion, Nimtza. The bottom line is, says the Gemara, that when the Oni comes in front of Beis Din Shomailo, Hillel Mechayves Aniyim. They'll bring out Hillel in order to obligate the Aniyim and in order to wipe away the arguments of the Aniyim. Rabbi Loza Ben Chausun Mechayves Ashirim. The Ashia, his arguments will be destroyed because they'll bring out Rabbi Elazar ben Chausun who will say, I was wealthier than you and I managed it. Yosef Mechayves Rashoim. When the Rasha turns up and they say to the person, to the Rasha, Mipnei Malo Yasakta V'teira, and he says, I couldn't because I was Osuk in my Yetzahara, they'll bring out Yosef and Yosef will destroy his arguments. Lichura, this Gemara, is a very difficult Gemara to understand. Because the Gemara is saying, bottom line, that Yosef is Machayev all the Rishoyim in the world. There is a Mefurish Gemara in Saita on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, on the posuk that Ashes Potiphera grabbed the begodim of Yosef, where the Gemara says, and Rashi quotes this Gemara on the posuk, "Batitfaseu bebigdoi lema," say Chazal, but Isa Shah, at that point in time, "Bosad yuknei shel Aviv." The image of his father came, v'nira saloi, and appeared to him b'chaloin, in a window. Amaloi. And the image of his father said to him, asidin achecho sheyichdavu al avnei eifoid. In the future, all the names of the shvatim will be written on the eifoid of the kohen. V'yata b'nehem. And your name as well. Ritzaincha, do you want Shimoche Shimcha mi beinehem, that your name should be wiped out, that they won't put your name there, because v'tikra roye zaynes, because you will be considered to be a roye zaynes. And the pasuk says in Mishle roye zaynes yevad hoin, and on the pasuk which says Vayovay habayso lasos malachtoi, that he came back home. The ein ish mi anshe habayis shom babayis, and the house was empty, there was nobody there. Rashi brings b'shem Rav Moshe Darshan, that because it says the ein ish mi anshe habayis shom babayis, that there was nobody from the household in the house, is mashma the dafka from the household, there was nobody in the house. But there was somebody else there. Who was the somebody else? Says Rav Moshe Darshan on the basis of the Gemara in Saito, that the somebody else was Yaakov Avinu because he was there. Which means the following, that in essence, Yosef Avinu would have given in to Ashes Potiphera. The only reason why he didn't give in was because Niris Alei B'chaloin, the Musti Yuknei Shel Aviv. Because his father suddenly appeared to him. So how can the Gemara in Yuma say that Yosef is Mechayev all the Rishoyim. If their fathers appeared to them every time that they wanted to do an Aveira and scared them, then they wouldn't have done the Aveiras either. They can answer back a very simple answer. Grace the Chachim you are. You didn't do the Aveira because your father appeared to you and he shucked you out of doing the Aveira. If my father would have appeared to me, he would have done the same thing. But my father didn't appear to me. So how is Yosef Machayev Rishoyim? Now this Gemara in Saita is a strange Gemara. Because basically, what's the Gemara trying to say? The Gemara is trying to say that Yosef would have been nichshel in the Aveira were it not for the fact that he had an apparition. He saw the image of his father. How does the window get into the story? The point is that he saw an apparition of his father. So why did the apparition have to be in a window? Nires eloyovid b'chaloyim. Where does the window come into it? What's the significance of the window here? And I once heard a pshat that actually Yosef didn't have an apparition. He didn't have a vision in which his father appeared to him in the vision. Because Chazal say that the musdiyuknei shel Yosef ka'oviv, that the external appearance of Yosef was similar to his father. He looked like his father, he looked like Yaakov Avinu. A window can act as a mirror. You look in the window and you see the reflection of yourself. When he looked at the window, he saw his own reflection in the window. But when he saw his own reflection in the window, it reminded him of his father, because it looked like his father. And when he saw that, he said to himself, stop for a moment. I am the son of Yitzchak. Sorry, I'm the son of Yaakov, who is the son of Yitzchak, who is the son of Avram. I'm the son of Yaakov, who was Ish Tom Yoshev Aholim, Sholim. I'm the son of, the grandson of Yitzchak, who was an Eilat Tmimo. I'm the great-grandson of Avraham Avinu, who was an Av Hamoin Goyim. Now I have a choice. Now I can carry on that line. I can carry on that tradition. Or I can become a behemoth. The choice is mine. Is it royal? Is it suitable that somebody who's coming from that line should do this Maisa Aveira? Because by doing this Maisa Aveira, what I'm doing is I am basically destroying the continuity of the line. There were Deiris here of Kedusha, of Tyro. Do I want to be the one that breaks the chain? That was the decision that he had to make at that point in time. Therefore, Yosef is Mechayev the Rishayim. Because every individual has the ability to make that choice. Every individual, even the biggest Rasha in the world, is coming from somewhere. He's not an Asufi, he didn't appear all of a sudden. There's a lineage there that goes back. If he would constantly have in mind Dmus Diyuknom of Avosov, if he would constantly consider, where am I coming from? Then, if he would think about where his roots lie, and that he's a continuation of these roots and of this Kedusha and this Taira, Ivadai wouldn't have been able to come to a Maisa Aveira. Therefore, the only distinction between Yosef and anybody else is that Yosef carried around with him this concept that I am the continuity. Therefore, anything which happened to him always sparked off this line of thought. If you don't carry it around with you, and you see your reflection in the window, you take out a comb and comb your hair, because that's what you see. If you carry it around the window, and you see your reflection in the window, then you see the Mustiyuk Neshalovi, because you live with that. You live with the Mustiyuk Neshalovi. One of the Aseres HaDibros is the Tzchir and the Shmira of Shabbos. The Mesiras Nefesh of Jews throughout the ages, for Shmiras Shabbos, was the prime thought midei dor v'dor of every Jew. How can he survive as a Shomer Shabbos? And we all know the stories of the mass emigration in the early 20th century to America. The stories of people who started work on Sunday and got fired on Friday, and then Sunday had to look for a new job because they weren't willing to be Mechalel Shabbos. There is a family in England who I know personally who play one of the greatest roles in the non-Jewish society of England. Amongst them is the editor of probably what is the most prestigious English daily newspaper. One of them is a very, very prominent politician. One of them is a very prominent activist in social services. I wouldn't call them B'nai Torah. I wouldn't call them even Haredi, maybe. But they are all 100% Shomer Shabbos, an entire family. And I once asked my father, Zichron Livracha, how come that these people who are so involved in the non-Jewish world, how come they stick with this tremendous Mesiras Nefesh to Shmiras Shabbos, when other things are not so makpid? So he said to me, because you didn't know their grandfather. Their grandfather, he said, for a period of 8 years, had over 400 jobs. Because every single Friday he got fired. Because he refused to be Mechalel Shabbos. So he was Zeicha that his grandchildren are all Shomer Shabbos, irrespective of what they did in other areas. There are two types of Mechalel Shabbos. There are Mechalel Shabbos who do it b'mezid. They do it b'yad roma. They do it openly. And they do it intentionally. Either because they aren't scared of the Ribbono Shel Olam who told them that they have to keep Shabbos, or because they don't believe that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam, because they're atheists until they fall off buildings. That's one type of Mechalel Shabbos. Those who are Mechalel Shabbos b'mezid, and those who are Mechalel Shabbos b'kavona, whether Mechilel Shabbos is an act of rebellion against the concept of a Ribbono Shel Olam, have a very difficult time in being chayzer b'tshuva on Chilul Shabbos. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Zayin that one of the most difficult things in times gone by for a person to divorce himself from was the concept of Aveda Zara. It's very difficult for us who grew up in an era where Aveda Zara is considered to be laughable to understand what the Mashiach of Aveda Zara was. It's difficult for us to understand Bichlau, how a person can believe that a piece of wood or a piece of iron is divinity, and therefore it's even more difficult for us to understand why a person should stick to it and not be willing to give it up. But as Rav Dessler writes, even though the Gemara says that Chalazal was mispalel, and that the Yetzirah of Aveda Zara was taken away, and therefore today it doesn't have that attraction that it had in times gone by, but there still is an Aveda Zara which exists today, which can give us an idea of how a person can become so involved in Aveda Zara that he finds it impossible to divorce himself from it. Says Rav Dessler, that's the Aveda Zara of wealth, the Aveda Zara of money. He says, today there's no idols made of stone and made of wood, which a person bows down to. Today there's something else, it's called a dollar, which a person bows down to, and he can't be menatek himself from it, says Rav Dessler. He can't divorce himself from it. And his whole life, and his whole interest in life, and his whole focus in life is a total attachment to the dollar. And that gives us, says Rav Dessler, some shadow of understanding of what the power of Aveda Zara was in times gone by. If we want to understand it, think of the power of the dollar today in people's eyes, and it gives you an idea what the power of Aveda Zara was in times gone by. And the Gemara says that in Erevin and Daf Samach Tes, that somebody who is Mechalel Shabbos is comparable to a Mumah and is comparable to an Eved Aveda Zara. Therefore, somebody who is experienced in Chilul Shabbos and devoted to Chilul Shabbos has the same difficulty in divorcing himself from it as the Eved Aveda Zara has, because it has the same power. And Yirmiyahu HaNovi, when Perek Yud Zayin of Sefer Yirmiyahu, when Yirmiyahu HaNovi is describing that the major chet of his generation was Chilul Shabbos b'meizid and b'kavona as an act of merida against the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he promises them that if they will do tshuva on Chilul Shabbos, then the Ribbono Shel Olam will tear up the gzar din that he made of the Churban Habayis and of the Churban of Klal Yisrael, and there will be no necessity to go into Golus. And all they have to do is to accept upon themselves that as from the next Shabbos, they will be Shomrei Shabbos. They didn't listen to him, because they couldn't tear themselves away from Chilul Shabbos. And the Gemara says in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Tes, that because the next Shabbos they continued to be Mechalel Shabbos, therefore Chov Yerushalayim. But that's all talking about the individual who is a Mechalel Shabbos b'meizid, because either he's an atheist or he doesn't believe in Shchar V'Einish, etc., etc., etc. But there is a second type of Mechalel Shabbos. That's the Mechalel Shabbos where it's not an act of merida. He's not rebelling against the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not an outcome of non-belief, of atheism. It's not an outcome of non-belief in Shchar V'Einish. It's the person who's mechalal Shabbos b'knisosei b'yitziyosei. It's the individual who is mezelzel in the whole concept of Tosfos Shabbos. And even though both of them are mechalal Shabbos, but they're different gdorim of mechalal Shabbos. The person who's mechalal Shabbos b'knisosei b'yitziyosei, the person who's mezelzel in Tosfos Shabbos, he's a maimin in the Ribbono Shel Olam. He believes in the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's also a maimin in Tzchav Einish. He believes that one gets punished. He's also scared to a certain degree of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But deep down inside him, he believes that he's really not doing anything wrong. Because maximum, he's just simply not a medaktik. He's not a machmir. He's not a mahadir b'mitzvahs. He's not into hidu mitzvahs. Therefore, he can allow himself to be a bit late when it comes to Knesset Shabbos and to be a bit early when it comes to Yitzhak Shabbos. And he's in London as well. He spent 2 years in Lev Arya. Therefore, he spent a sum total of 40 minutes in the Beis HaMedrash in the entire period of the 2 years. And therefore, he heard one concept. Ruboy Kekuloi. He knows Ruboy Kekuloi. So he's Shemesh Shabbos Beruboy and Ruboy Kekuloi. He really believes and he really convinces himself that he's not within the geder of a Mechalal Shabbos. And if you turn around to him and you tell him you're actually halachically a mumah, you're an Eved Avodah Zarah, because the Gemara says in Eiruvin, Eize Yisrael Muma Amachalal Shabbosis Befahesia, he'll look at you as if you're crazy. What do you mean I'm a Machalal Shabbos and I'm a Muma and Eved Avodah Zarah? I keep most of Shabbos. Most of Shabbos I keep. And we don't even realize how illogical the concept of keeping most of Shabbos is. Can you imagine the Jew who is b'mdaktik b'mitzvahs kala kechamura? He davens 3 times a day. He only eats in the best hechsher. Any possibility that there is of being machmir in something, he's machmir. When he does Eis HaSholem, he does a marathon, 4 miles back, 4 miles forward. When he shakes his lulav, it's a sakona to be within his daladamas. His mummy, she's machmir in all directions. He uses a garbage can for his sheer chazanish for Kiddush. Everything. He hears Kriyas HaTorah every Shabbos 6 times. Because he's not sure whether he's Yaita with Ashkenazi Shabbos, or Havara with a Svalish Havara, with a Taimanish Havara, with a Tunisian Havara. And Pasha Zocha Mandaka Shmei. He spends 4 days listening to Parsha Zohar, time and time and time again. And Rosh Hashanah, he blows 16,000 kiyas in order to chap every single shitter that's possible. He's mamash a tzaddik yesod olam, but he's got 1 minute. Christmas Day. Christmas Day, he goes to St. Mary's. He walks in for 30 seconds. And he kisses Yashka on the tzlav, bows down, and says, Ze Eli V'Amvehu. Just as an insurance policy, just in case. An insurance policy. But it takes him 10 seconds. Does that make sense? And when he comes out, he says to me, are you crazy? He says, Ruben Kekulei! It's me at the bottle. That's the guy who keeps Shabbos with all the diktukim. But when it comes to Knesset Shabbos, when it comes to Yetzias Shabbos, he's makel for himself. I, Reif Shittas, Tosefta Shabbos is the Raisa. And even if it's not the Raisa, even if it's the Rabbonin, there's a logic behind it. Because if you're Makel into Sefer Shabbos, the whole point is because you're going to come to be Makel in Shabbos Gufo. And then you're Vada going to be Mechalaleo Meis Yumos. We find something interesting. The two main tefillahs of every single Yochid, when he's standing in tefillah in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, is always health, chaim, and parnasa. Those are the two things which the Jew davens for. And the truth of the matter is, the ikar tefillah of a person is health, is chaim, is life. Because if you're alive, then you can have bitochen in the Ribbono Shel Olam that will send you parnasa. If you're dead, the parnasa is not going to help you. And that's why the tefillahs of Yomim Neiroim be'ikah revolve around Chaim. If you look at the tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, most of them revolve around the concept of what we ask for is Chaim. And every single Shabbos in Musaf, what do we say? Toy Ameho Chaim Zochu. In other words, if a person wants to be zeicher in chayim, if a person wants to be zeicher in life, you have to be categorized as being from those people who can be called toyamei hashabbos. What does a person practically have to do in order that he should be a Toyem Shabbos, that about him it should be said, Toyameho Chaim Zochu, as opposed to be one of those people about who it says, Mechalaleho Mois Yomus. What is the concept of Toyameho Chaim Zochu? What does it mean that a person is Toyem, is from Toyame Shabbos? If you invite somebody for a meal, and the person that you invite for the meal is an Odom Choshev, you're inviting a very important person in your eyes to a meal. You want, because the person is very Choshev, that he should enjoy the meal. You want that he should enjoy the food that's being prepared for him at the meal. And how do you know if the person who's eating the meal is enjoying the meal? How can you tell if the person who's eating the meal is enjoying the meal? Now, if you ask any balabasta, how does she know whether the people eating round the table are enjoying the food that she's prepared? The answer is always very simple. You look at the plate of the guy who's eating. If he left in his plate more than the minimum which it's polite to leave on a plate, and then he asks for a second portion, or he takes a second portion, then you know that he enjoyed the meal. But if he leaves everything that he got served on the plate, then you know that he didn't enjoy the meal. In other words, the criteria for the balabasta to know as to whether somebody enjoyed her meal or didn't enjoy her meal is how much did they eat as opposed to how much did they leave over. The Ribbono Shel Olam, say Chazal, took something out of his treasury and gave it as a matona to Klal Yisrael. It's called Shabbos Malkasa. That's what it's called. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is inviting us to a Suda. And the Suda is a Suda which he makes because it's a day of commemoration of the Chanukah of his world. It's the Chanukah Sa'ilam. That's why he's making the Suda. And Ribbono Shel Olam wants to know if we are nehne from his Suda or not. The Koroso l'Shabbos Oineg. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants that Am Yisrael should get a taste of what Gan Eden is all about. And therefore he gave them a matana which is called Shabbos, which is a yom of Kedusha, it's a yom of Menucha, which the Ribbono Shel Olam gave to them as a Me'ein Olam Haba, as a sample of what Olam Haba is. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave to Klal Yisrael Yom Shabbos Menucha, a day called Shabbos. And just as Adam Arishon, when he sat in Gan Eden, the Pasuk says that he only had one function in Gan Eden, La'ovda u'lishomra, just like in Olam Haba, Tzadikim Yeshvim, V'atreisehem v'roshehem, V'nenim iziv ashchina, Adam Arishon was placed in Gan Eden and he didn't have to do anything at all. All he had to do was La'ovda l'shamim, which say Chazal was to be an Eved Hashem and to be Shema Mitzvah Hashem. Because anything else that he needed was supplied to him by the Ribbono Shel Olam. So too, say Chazal is Shabbos. Me'ein Olam Haba Yom Shabbos Menucha. Shabbos is a Me'ein Gan Eden. It's a Me'ein Olam Haba. The same way as Gan Eden and Olam Haba was something which was reserved totally for Inyone Ruchnius, so too, B'yom HaShabbos, the Ribbono Shel Olam sits b'shamayim, and he looks at Klal Yisrael in order to determine how much do they appreciate the meal that he prepared for them. How tasty is the Suda called Shabbos Malkasa, which the Ribbono Shel Olam has prepared for Klal Yisrael, how tasty is it for them? And the simon, which the Ribbono Shel Olam has, as to whether the Shabbos is tasty for the guest or is not tasty for the guest, does he ask for more or not? Because if he asks for more, then you know that he's enjoying it. But if he doesn't ask for more, and even what you give him, he doesn't use in its entirety, but he leaves over, then that's a simon that he doesn't like it. If a person's attitude to Shabbos is that I need more of Shabbos, and therefore his Shabbos starts in terms of Kulei Ruchnius already from Chatzos on Friday, because by Chatzos on Friday he's finished with everything which is in Yonim Gashmiim, and he's doing what Jews did Midere Deiris. He's doing what his great-great-grandparents did, and his great-great-grandparents, and his great-great-great-grandparents, and his great-great-great-great-great-grandparents did. Because the Jews stopped on Erev Shabbos Chatzos doing anything which had any contact with Chol. And after Chatzos, the Jew was already in his Shabbos begodim. And after Chatzis, the Jew was already sitting in the Beis HaMedrash, whether it was Ba'ez Gemara, whether he was saying Shir HaShirim. Mark Kedisli, everybody according to his minhag. And if the Jew on Motzi Shabbos shows that he's nehneh from the Suda of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam because he wants more and more, and he's ma'achah Yetzias HaShabbos to the maximum possible, then it's a raya for the Rebbeinu Shel Olam that the Jew appreciates the matana he gave him. But if you leave over in the plate half of the meal, if you chop off chunks of Shabbos, whether it's before Shabbos or whether it's after Shabbos, or if you spend your actual Shabbos the same way as you would spend a day off in your Mois HaChol, if you show the Ribbono Shel Olam that your entire focus is how to get out of the matana of Shabbos, if the minute that for you Shabbos is over, it's Big Day Chol, then you're basically throwing the plate back at the balabosta. Toyameo, Toyame Shabbos, are people who understand the value of Shabbos, who understand the function of Shabbos, who understand that Shabbos is a matana, a suda which the Ribbono Shel Olam is making for Klal Yisrael, and who are therefore magish the time of Erev Shabbos and the time of Motzei Shabbos. And therefore those people are Zeicher L'Chaim. Chaim and Moves, and Chaim and Moves doesn't mean necessarily living and dropping dead. You can be breathing and your heart can be functioning and you are dead. People who are walking around in depressions are physically alive, but they're dead. Chaim and Moves is in the hands of Shabbos. Mechalaleo Mois Yomos and Toyameo Chaim Zocho. That's the two sides. And it's obviously some sort of midah keneged midah going on here. In other words, somebody who's shomer Shabbos in the maximum way, somebody who's toyam tam Shabbos, he's zeicher to arichas yomim. And somebody who's not, Chas v'sholem gets to the hepech. So if so, there must be a midah keneged midah here. The Balei Musa say the following. The Balei Musa say that somebody who receives a death penalty from the king can be saved from that death penalty in two ways. Or in three ways. It's possible to hire a very good lawyer, and the lawyer will prove to the king that really you're not guilty. Alternatively, you can admit that you're guilty, and you can ask for mercy from the king. Why should the king pardon you from the death sentence? Well, there could be a variety of reasons. It could be because The guy who got the death sentence happens to be a very close, good friend of the king. And therefore, the king has this personal connection with him and really wants to pardon him. It could be that the person who got the death penalty has protexia. He has somebody inside who has the ear of the king and can put in and lend a good word for him inside. Alternatively, he could say, argue the friend that actually the guy is okay. He just made one slip in his life. And that slip that he made was exception. That's not the way that he really is. All these arguments exist within Shabbos. Somebody who's shamed Shabbos kehilchosoi becomes a close friend of the king. Because the Gemara says in Shabbos and Daf Kuftes, Shiravamnuna Oma, the Vamnuna said, Misha Aimer Vayechulu, Nasa Shutuf Lakodish Borchu, the Maisa Bereishis. Shmir Shabbos creates a bond between the individual and between the Ribbono Shel Olam. It also says in Chazal that Shabbos is the bas zug of Knesset Yisrael. So Shabbos is a good friend of the Shemah Shabbos, who has the ear of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And in fact, Chazal say that Adam Arishan would have got a much worse einish were it not for the fact that he was Shemah Shabbos and that saved him. The Gemara in Ksubas on Daf Ayin Zayin relates a story that Rabbi Shua ben Levi managed to get into Gan Eden while he was still alive. And the Malach HaMoves got very upset about this and demanded that he be kicked out. So Rabbi Shua ben Levi, says the Gemara, made a shvua. He swore an oath that he's not going to leave Gan Eden. So the Malach HaMoves came running to the Ribbono Shel Olam and he said to the Ribbono Shel Olam, let him be shoyel on his shvua. Let him go to Beis Din and let him be matir his shvua and then I can kick him out. To which the Gemara says that the Ribbono Shel Olam said to the Malach HaMoves the following. If in his entire life, when Rabbi Shua ben Levi has made a shvua, he was never shoyel on his shvua, then you can't ask him to be shoyel on his shvua now. And he can stay in Gan Eden. If during his lifetime he has already been shoyel on shvuas that he made, then you can tell him that he has to be shoyel on the shvua and kick him out. In other words, the way in which the Ribbono Shel Olam relates to a person is in direct proportion to the way in which the person relates to the mitzvahs of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The way in which a person relates to the mitzvahs Ba'olam Hazeh is the way in which the person gets related to by the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's mutter to be shoyel on a shvua. But Rav Shua ben Levi went lifnim mishur hadin, and he was never shoyel on a shvua, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, if this is who he is, then that's the way I have to relate to him as well. I have to relate to him lifnim mishur hadin. Because that's the way the Ribbono Shel Olam works. The way you treat the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's the way the Ribbono Shel Olam treats you. If a person, his entire life, takes the extra mile, goes over the usual limit on behalf of Shabbos. If it's Shabbos starts, Chatzos Erev Shabbos, and it finishes late Motzi Shabbos, if it's all one continuum of Ruchnias, even if in other areas, maybe he'll be Nichshel, the Ribbono Shelolam will be go Lifli Mishuras Hadin with the person Lugabe Adar Averus. Because the way in which we relate to the Ribbono Shelolam is the way in which the Ribbono Shelolam relates to us. And that's the power of Tayameho Chaim Zochu. Tayameho Chaim Zochu, because Shabbos protects a person. It creates a friendship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It creates a Sanega who can speak to the Ribbono Shel Olam on our behalf. And it creates a Lifnim Mishuras Hadin in the way in which the Ribbono Shel Olam will relate to us if we relate to the Shabbos Lifnim Mishuras Hadin. If our Shabbos is more of a Shabbos than the strict letter of the law, then the Ribbono Shel Olam relates to us not according to the strict letter of the law, but Lifnim Mishuras Hadin. That's a choshev and a kuda that we have to remember. Shabbos is not an all. Erev Shabbos is not an all. Motzi Shabbos is not an all. Erev Shabbos, Shabbos, Motzi Shabbos is a matona from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And it is the ultimate, most powerful matona. And the more a person is mashkia on the Erev Shabbos and Motzi Shabbos and Avada Gevissim Shabbos itself, the more the Ribbono Shel Olam will repay him.